This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. He publishes at Newsweek, Gatestone and the Hill, and other distinguished publications. And we're looking at the People's Republic of China and its export market, its manufacturing. It's driven by export technology at the ports, the infrastructure. It also has factories that feed the endless demand by the planet for Chinese goods, except question now about that supply chain has been for a year and a half, and to my reading, it is not solved either in China or in the U.S. Container ships continue to line up off of California's coast and other ways that there is a slowness of product to retail. We welcome Alan Tonelson. He blogs at Reality Check, and he's at Alan Tonelson, his Twitter address. Our guide on manufacturing, but more particularly, the subset of supply chain. Alan, a very good evening to you. I thank you for this. This is the South China Morning Post headline. Mm-hmm. Caveat, caveat, caveat. This is a publication heavily influenced by the heavy hand of the Chinese Communist Party. China's manufacturing outlook up in the air as supply chain issues threaten to take shine off roaring exports in 22. Subhead, raw material prices may keep rising next year, but experts say shipping cost pressures could gradually wind down after reaching meteoric highs in recent months. Meteoric is one more version of saying they were out of reach of many retailers and they were looking for alternates. So my first question is not, is China struggling? Is there at this point in the new year, Alan, to your understanding, a reorganizing of the supply chain to take into account that this may go longer than the Chinese are promising for 22? Good evening to you.
Hi, John, and hi, Gordon. We've certainly seen some signs that foreign companies, non-Chinese-owned companies, are hedging their bets by moving factories, moving production out of China, largely because China has been so unpredictable and so unreliable lately when it comes to economic policy, and also simply because there's a global manufacturing-wide concern about making sure that your company is not overly dependent on one single source of supply. And it certainly looks like in recent decades, so many companies and so many industries have made such a major mistake in locating so much of their production in one place, namely China. And now, of course, that's being rethought very profoundly, by the way.
Gordon, you have a question for Alan.
Alan, just a few hours ago, Goldman Sachs predicted that China would continue its zero COVID policies and its strict lockdowns, at least through the spring of 2023. That would seem to me to further aggravate the supply chain disruptions you were talking about. Do you think that companies are going to actually now accelerate the pace of leaving China, or will they just say that this is business as usual?
I don't think they'll conclude this is business as usual, mainly because this zero COVID policy pursued by China has been so wildly excessive. We got a great example of that last year, where the world's single largest port, Ningbo, was substantially closed down because two workers at that port had infections of COVID. And that kind of blind and massive reaction to what was clearly a very minor medical problem is very much on the minds of businesses everywhere, because they don't want to be so vulnerable to a government that's that capricious.
We have a report from Ningbo. This is the website I'm looking at is Hellenic Shipping News. The things you wander into when you start following supply chain, Alan.
Very reliable publication.
Lockdown of vital port in Ningbo disrupts logistics, but impact could be controlled. First graph. This was within hours. A partial lockdown of Ningbo City in East China's Zhejiang province, home to the world's largest port, has led to problems like fewer drivers and trucks, raising concerns about supplies for renowned international fast fashion brands like Nike and Adidas. Here we go again, Alan. the same thing that you pointed to last year is back at Ningbo. Now, can we see that supply chain react to this? Has it learned in the last year that when China shuts down, you need alternative routes?
So far, companies have been talking the talk more than walking the walk. But even the talk, I would argue, is extremely encouraging. And I do think we're going to see more action on this front, mainly because we can expect the zero COVID policy to continue for the time being. Why would that be? Because China is frantic to make sure that the upcoming Winter Olympics go off as scheduled. And if they feel that COVID, and especially the Omicron variant, highly contagious, of course, is spreading rapidly throughout the country, that has got to threaten those Olympic Games, which were, of course, seen to be so important by Beijing for China's global prestige.
Well, I'm looking.
So I don't see the Chinese government taking any COVID chances, whatever.
Forgive me, Alan. I'm looking at a photograph from Ningbo. I'm presuming this is fresh because it's presented that way. It's the third busiest box port in the world. And they're trying to create a whitelist for truck drivers. In other words, they're lining up the container ships before they cross the Pacific to line up off of Los Angeles or elsewhere where they line up. This looks like a fresh problem. Now, the problem that we're looking at was solved in some fashion by Christmas. Maybe we found alternate products to buy. Do you see this going forward? Let's presume not the worst case, but certainly a repeat of last year. Do you see this going forward to being a learning experience for these companies that have not taken the first instance seriously because they put it down to the pandemic?
We have to keep in mind that we're talking here about two different supply chain problems. We're talking about, when we talk about Christmas in the United States, we're talking about this country's supply chain problem. When we're talking about China, obviously, that is a related supply chain problem, but it's not identical. It does look like U.S. businesses who depend so heavily on selling to holiday shoppers did a pretty good job of working their way around supply chain problems. That may be because the bet hedging against over-reliance on China is actually not completely new. It's been going on for quite a few years now. Again, more talk than walk, but certainly some progress made. But again, there's this shadow of zero COVID policy hanging over the entire Chinese economic and business scene. And I have to think that as long as that continues, businesses are going to be searching for ways to, again, hedge those China heavy bets that they've made for so long. Not that it's going to be easy for them to diversify sources, because there aren't that many countries around the world whose production bases can adequately substitute for China's over the short run. But generally, businesses are pretty good at figuring these problems out eventually, and I have no doubt they will be this time too.
Gordon, for years now, we've heard that China wants to develop a domestic market so that it is not completely, completely worshipful for the export market. Does that exist, the domestic market?
Well, it does exist, John, but consumption is soft. And we can see this not only from official figures, but also from anecdotal evidence that we have that consumption, which is supposed to be the core of the Chinese economy, as we've been told by the National Bureau of Statistics, just is not powering China right now. And we can see that because of the COVID lockdowns and also because of problems in the property sector, which are affecting people's perceptions of their own wealth.
So the Chinese Communist Party is more dependent on that Ningbo port than we are. Is that the way to interpret this? Because they have no other confident source of income.
Well, that's always been the case, but it's more so right now because China's economy is becoming more export dependent rather than less.
Well, I hope the Central Committee is looking at the same photographs I'm looking at, because they don't have enough truck drivers to load the ships to get them to market. You have a quick question for Alan, Gordon.
Alan, we've been focusing on supply chains owned by foreigners. In China, a lot of these small factories have been closing up, as the South China Morning Post has been reporting, and now more are closing than opening up. How do you think that this is going to affect the appetite for manufacturing in China?
There's no question that the outlook for Chinese manufacturing, as that newspaper article mentioned, is really murky and frankly not all that promising. And I would just add two points to those that were just made about exports. One, the South China Morning Post piece made the very important point that for most Chinese manufacturers, and especially smaller ones, export sales are more profitable than sales inside China. So if China's export prospects are dimming, that's going to put even more pressure on this enormous number of small manufacturers who, by the way, employ many millions of Chinese workers. The second point is that even as China's export prospects dim, Xi Jinping has decided that he's going to shift the national economic plan away from over-reliance on exports. Yet, as you just pointed out, Gordon, domestic consumption is very weak. So both of these engines of China's economic growth seem to be slowing at the same time.
Alan Tunnelson blogs at Reality Check. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.